Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. It's the preview for April. Always look forward to this with my cohorts. We get to look at the ministry news and look forward to giving you a preview of what to look at in the month of April here only on Strong Tower Radio. And with me in the studio is Cam Ferguson. Welcome, Cam.
Hey, Tom. It's great to be here again.
This is going to be a great program. After the first segment, we're going to talk about the ministry news. Second segment, we're going to be talking about, April is Child Abuse Prevention Month with Karen Staub, a great we've had her on the program on other times. She's going to be there here until this problem's solved. But then we're going to be talking about other programs, a program that's going to be Dr. Tom Evans will be doing a program in the Cadillac area who's with Child Impact International, and much, much more. So, Cam, why don't you lead us in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together where we can share what's covered in not only the newsletter, but some exciting programs that will be aired in April. And we pray that this time will be a blessing to all who hear, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Cam, that lead article, David Bolduc, the founder and president of Strong Tower Radio, wrote this lead article, and he nailed it.
Yes, Conversations on the Road to Emmaus. And it goes over that experience where you have two disciples of Jesus, not apostles, but followers of Jesus, and they're going back home. They kind of got stuck in Jerusalem on Sabbath, and they're going home on Sunday. And they're just dejected, and because all their hopes were dashed with the death of Jesus, and so they're just kind of staring at their shoes as they're going down to Emmaus, because you literally go down because Jerusalem's a mountain town, and so they're walking and just kind of talking and reviewing the weekend, and all of a sudden someone joins them in the walk, and ask him a question like, what are you so bummed about? And they're like, what have you not? Are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on around here? It's kind of what they say. And then Jesus proceeds to open to them the scriptures, which they had only the Old Testament at that time. And he brought the scriptures to life and showed them how the Messiah should suffer. All the things they've described actually happened. And they get a lesson unlike anybody'd ever heard before.
Well, this is the ultimate aha moment.
And they missed it.
That's right. This is nothing new. They had these scriptures. They've been reading them in the temple. They've been read all through the year. They would review the Torah, and it's right there, and the prophets, and they missed it.
And we know that it was resonating with them, because after Jesus was at their home and revealed who he was, when he was sitting down to a meal with them, he broke the bread, and it was like, ah. Oh, that's Jesus. And then he disappears to really put exclamation point on it.
Well, I just want to pause for a moment. It hit me as David wrote this article. Word pictures just came to mind as Jesus broke that bread. And all of a sudden it hit me. I've read that time and time before. But it was like when he broke the bread for the 5,000. I think he did it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And then as he opened up his hands, they saw the scars in his hands, and it's just like, ah.
And what was their statement? Did our hearts not burn within us as he walked us through the scriptures along the way? So, yes, they did not grasp that it was Jesus as he's describing it to them, because their depression was so strong, it was not clicking. Oh, you're talking about yourself. And it was only afterward that when they saw him and recognized, says, did our hearts not burn within us? So they were resonating with what he was saying.
They were getting excited.
But they weren't connecting it with him. It was just like, wow, this is all making sense, but how is it relevant to our disappointment? Because what happened to Jesus? And then it started to click. And they had just come back from Jerusalem. But as soon as they realized who Jesus was and he disappears, they immediately reversed course and hustled back to Jerusalem.
Yes, the two-hour journey, we think they were doing it double time. Who knows, but it was a very short time. They're back up there in the upper room with the disciples telling this tale.
And they just about the time they finished telling what they had witnessed and experienced, Jesus appears in a glorified body, a glorified human body. And the article doesn't point this out, but in Deuteronomy 19:15, God through Moses tells Israel and us, in the presence of a minimum of two witnesses must all truth be established.
And how many disciples were there?
There were two from Emmaus who'd hustled back and told them, hey, you guys, this is the real deal. It isn't just Mary anymore. It's we have seen him too. And what does he address first? He speaks to their doubt and says, how long will you not believe? And he's building on the two witnesses who had just explained.
Yes.
And that tells us they were skeptical. Like, whoa, he disrupted their skepticism.
And what's interesting is these two disciples recognize Jesus immediately.
Yes.
And it occurred to me, and I related to you, is the last time the disciples seen him, Jesus, he was on the cross, dying and beaten and in a terrible state.
Yes.
Now he is in a glorified state.
Yes.
And these two disciples were the two that recognized him, and they quickly recognized him, and the disciples had yet to believe.
Yeah, the 11, Judas wasn't there anymore. The 11, like you said, they had only last seen him when he was on the cross. This was their first encounter with the resurrected Jesus. And it's just an amazing, as you read the article, you really can be right there. It's an
yes.
As you said, it's an excellent group of word pictures that really brings it to life. And this Emmaus Road experience, it really embodies the goal of Strong Tower Radio, and that's to proclaim the character of God, to reveal the character of God revealed through Scripture. And that's
what Jesus presented was Scripture.
Correct.
About himself.
Correct. And really, the Old and the New Testament are the testimonies that reveal who God is. And so the Word made flesh to dwell among us, as the Apostle John refers to and describes Jesus as. And so just inviting people that as we broadcast this scriptural revelation of the character of God and his love, that continue to pray and financially support this ministry that is reaching out and connecting with people who are seeking to know who God is and find him in his Word.
And you can read this article for yourself, and Cam, this deserves more than one read. There's so much depth to it. You can go on our website, str.fm, or strongtowerradio.org. Go to the newsletter, as well as you can see the other programs, the archive programs, the schedule that's coming up. And so we also have some other articles from the News and Views, the President's Perspective.
Yeah, in the President's Perspective, he uses a couple illustrations that I really like. And one of them is just making mention of the numerous instances where Strong Tower Radio listeners, sometimes before their listeners, the process of their getting to first listen involves something unique happening with their radio, whether the dial moves and they didn't move it, and they get in and start their car, and hey, who put this on this station?
And sometimes it's another member of the family or such that tune it in with the intention of them finding it.
There is that. There's also where you have your automotive presets all blank out with no logical explanation, and in the process of reestablishing presets, discovering Strong Tower Radio.
We've heard it so many times. We believe there's some divine intervention.
Yes, the angels are working to connect people with the answers that they're seeking. And that's the key, because God doesn't mess around with our free will. He works within those parameters. So when someone's looking for truth, they're asking for guidance, it authorizes God to act in a greater way. And sometimes people even, their dial gets stuck on Strong Tower Radio, and they get a little annoyed about it at first. And understandably, you know, you're not interested, or you don't think you're interested, you want to be able to move on. But the dial gets stuck. And then they hear something that piques their interest. And that's where David keyed in. He says, finding something that piques listeners' interest. And the Holy Spirit excels at the timing of connecting listeners to something that will pique their interest. And then he segues from there into, we've been reading in staff meeting worship each week out of the Great Controversy, and we were in a chapter that deals with William Miller and how discovering a loving Redeemer and Savior, that piqued his interest, because he didn't have that view of God up until then, and he discovered it by reading Scripture for himself. And then he got into prophecy, and oh my, that really piqued his interest. So you have the combination, William Miller, of a loving Savior he discovers and a Savior who uses prophecy and fulfills it in a linear fashion, which was new to them back then. And there again, that's what Strong Tower Radio is placing on the air. Prophecy, a loving Savior who uses prophecy. And why does he use it? John 13:19. I tell you this before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am. And prophecy is given to build our faith.
And one of the things that he summarizes is that God is in control and he has a plan, and it is systematic and it's not arbitrary.
Amen. And all in the context of a free will exchange and conflict.
We make a choice for ourselves.
That's right.
There's two other articles, and you happened to write both of them.
I did. And one of them involves a changed life. Chris came from what he would describe as an irreligious background, and it was particularly influenced by his mother, who grew up with a street preacher for a father, and she did not appreciate that. It was rather embarrassing to her, so she chose to go completely away from religion. Yet every Sunday afternoon they would go to her folks' place for dinner. And so Chris got some exposure to spiritual things through his grandfather, who was a former street preacher. And that had a little bit of an impact, but it wasn't until as a young adult in the 60s that, you know, he's seeing leaders in the country and significant people being assassinated, and just the foundations of civilization seemed to be a little unstable in that time frame. And so he looked for something more stable and looked to God. And he had a background of reading the Scriptures, and he'd found that they're true, but he also found that most places he went to church just didn't align with the Scriptures. And so he decided he'd just study for himself, and he liked music. And so he preferred Bible study on his own and playing music gigs at nightclubs. Real interesting combination.
Yes, they don't seem to be compatible.
Correct. And he says, I saw a lot of people who were looking for something better, and they're looking in nightclubs and weren't finding it. And he had a very challenging number of challenging experiences in life, and he learned that the hippie movement was not something he wanted to get involved with. He's like, nah, they're crazy. They have no solutions. And just pursued his own way and ran into a lot of difficulties. But he also made the wise decision. He says, movies and TV, that's just a narrative that it's not worth going down. And he was he preferred radio. And he calls himself a radio junkie, and he looks for long-distance signals to tune in. Well, one day, he's in the greater Grand Rapids area, he tunes in Strong Tower Radio, and we're not that far away. But it's something new to him. Joe Cruz got his attention.
Mm-hmm. Timeless.
Bible truth, straight on. No games, no man-made traditions, just boom, right there. Piqued his interest. He kept listening. And after 3 years of listening, he walks into a local Seventh-day Adventist church and says, I've been listening to Strong Tower Radio for 3 years, and I've decided to do something about it. And so you can read the rest of the article to hear how that all worked out. And there's another article that I wrote called Grow Where You're Planted, and it explores the idea of people being discontented with where they are and their opportunities and kind of the greener grass idea.
It's almost universal because outside of Christ, we're discontented.
Correct.
We're not fulfilled.
Correct. Still haven't found what we're looking for, so to speak. And so I delve into that this is primarily, for some it may be true, but for most it's a distortion of reality, and that Christians are not immune. Christians think, oh, if I just had a better this or a better that, better opportunity, better placement, I could do a greater work for God. And God says, hold on, grow where you're planted. And there's the idea that, well, you have local missions and you have foreign missions. And some say, well, I'm going to do one or the other. But it's not a one or the other experience. It's a mission mindset. And our attention to one impacts our attention to the other. And so with that, I just thank the readers for having the mission mindset that they support Strong Tower Radio with their prayers and finances. And these changed lives, articles and testimonies continue to affirm their investment returns continue to grow as the Lord blesses and works through the broadcast to reach people where they are with the most important message that's ever been given for this time in human history.
Amen. And I know one of our listeners probably will be listening to this program, and we have celebrated them coming to church, her and her husband, and we rejoice, and she is rejoicing.
Amen.
They're Strong Tower Radio listeners.
Amen.
Well, we'll be right back after this with Karen Staub with the Child Protection Agency committee here, and we'll have much more. It's a great program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org, and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio Preview. I'm your host, Tom Mazure. And in this section, we're going to talk about April. We're going to talk about April as Child Abuse Prevention Month. And we're welcoming back Karen Staub of the Child Protection Agency of our area. Welcome back, Karen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you. It's probably about the third or fourth time we've done this.
It is. It is. It's an important topic and worth revisiting.
So remind our listeners, Karen, our audience is continuing to expand. We now have 23 Michigan stations, 25 overall. And so we're adding listeners all the time. And so tell our listeners what a child protection agency does, and we'll eventually get to a little bit of that history.
Okay, great. Well, the Child Protection Council of Wexford and Maunsaki County, of course, you said like we're the local county for the area that we're in right now, which covers Wexford and Maunsaki County in the state of Michigan.
Which is in the northwest part of the Lower Peninsula, which we think of Cadillac, many people do.
Yep, exactly. So we cover that two-county area, and we focus on primary prevention. And primary prevention focuses on stopping abuse before it happens. So we do a lot of community outreach, education, whether it's community education, parent education, and awareness, creating that awareness around that topic. Sometimes when we hear about something, if we don't hear about it again, we think it's okay, it's gone. So we are always out there in the community talking about child abuse prevention, the need to stop it beforehand, and really what everyone can do every single day.
Prevention is so positive. And it just prevents the problem. You've said many times the investment in prevention, what is that ratio?
So primary prevention, so like I said, that focus on stopping it before it happens costs 96% to 98% less than after abuse has already occurred. So after a family may be in trouble and struggling, after a child has been abused and various systems need to step in to help, prevention through education, like I said, it's all based and centered around education, costs that 96% to 98% less. But yet it gets very, very little attention and very little dollars.
And that's what we're taking care of right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, there's no pain.
Exactly. There is no pain. It's all only of benefit to both the child, who remains healthy and unharmed, and to the family, who remains strengthened and ready to grow and thrive and help their children, and the entire community, really, because the community benefits as a whole. Businesses, you know, stronger communities, there are no losers in prevention.
Tell our listeners, flesh it out, what is prevention?
So prevention are those first steps. Like I said, we focus on that outreach, education, and awareness. We work within the community with just about every single organization, agency, business. We go to various community meetings. We're making sure that the aspect of preventing abuse is on the forefront of everyone's mind, and trying to help everyone see how that positively affects themselves, you know, their neighbors, other children, the community, businesses. Like I said, everybody is affected positively by preventing this.
Tell our listeners a couple things that you're doing concrete to help it before it even starts, or the other part is the trending. It hasn't become full abuse, but there's a trend happening. You want to catch it before it crosses that line.
Yeah, that community outreach piece in making sure that we are supplying organizations and agencies with resource materials to get to parents to help create an awareness of what is out there in the community. So if they start to have some times where they're struggling or something like that, they know other agencies and organizations are out there to pitch in, lend a hand. And so then they have the ability to seek out that help that they need instead of letting it go and letting a problem get worse. You know, that's a big aspect of what we do, just to make sure that people know. Locally, one of the like community events that we focus on really heavily is helping the local Cadillac Fire Department with their annual 9/11 Child Safety Expo. So typically it's grown to have over 50 community organizations that come out and set up their tables. They bring community information to get out to parents to create that awareness, to create that sense of community. I think as time has gone on, we've gotten away from this whole sense of raising children in a community, and it's kind of been brought inward. We don't look to community support as much as we have in the past. We don't look to family as much as we have in the past. And making sure that parents know that those relationships are so important. Parenting is not a one-person job. It just needs a community of support. And parenting is a job in and of itself. There's no other job you're going to have where you're not going to have some sort of training or knowledge beforehand, except for being a parent. And it's the most important job in the world.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we really need to get back to that whole sense of community and that normalizing, asking for help and just saying, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, point me in the right direction. Somebody help.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the history of the council, why it even, this whole network was established, and then we'll talk about the why is it important, and then how to connect with your local agency.
That sounds great. So for Michigan, our Child Protection Council falls under the state of Michigan. And back in the 1970s, there was a very prominent pediatrician in our area who, through his practice, he really recognized the need for preventing child abuse. Followed these kiddos from birth all the way up through their teenage years, saw them later again as parents of children, and really saw what toxic childhood stress, toxic trauma can do to a child and how it shapes their brain. And he really saw that need to focus on preventing it before it happens. So he proposed to some legislators at the time his idea. And so it was in 1982 when Senator Debbie Stabenow and Senator Hertel Sr. Had presented legislation bipartisanly to the state to establish a trust fund. And that's when the Children's Trust Fund got established. I don't know if you can remember on our Michigan tax forms, mm-hmm. it used to be that little box.
Was it like $2
or something like that? Yeah, it was like a dollar, and then it went to $2 or something. But there was always that little box. Do you want to contribute a dollar to the Children's Trust Fund? That's what that was. That's what that trust fund got established, and it built over the years, and now sets as a secure trust that there's, I think they can draw out 5% a year of the dividends, and those monies that are drawn out of that trust get divided up between all of our counties across the state to do primary prevention work. So it's really heavily focused on. So it was that whole thought behind, you know, we need to stop this before it even happens in the first place. And we've talked on this program before about the ACEs study, the Adverse Childhood Experiences study. That was done in the 1990s. So this was a full 20 years before that, where this pediatrician was seeing this high need and saying, we really need to do something. And so today, Children's Trust Michigan is now, they changed their name from Children's Trust Fund to Children's Trust Michigan. So they are our state partner who oversees all of the work that the counties do. And we're now known as prevention partners. We used to be known as local councils. So we're now prevention partners because it more accurately describes what we do. But the monies that come to all of the prevention partners across the state are not, they don't, they're not, like, we're not a line item on the state budget. We don't take, we don't get our funding from tax dollars. It's all from that established trust or from fundraisers that Children Trust Michigan do to help this work continue to move forward.
Now, let's delve into why this is important.
The outcome of child abuse is going to affect everyone. It doesn't matter what your income level is, what your profession is, where you are in the community, it's going to touch you in some way.
So you've mentioned it so many times before, and it's that an employer, you bring that forward, that an employer that has an employee that has a dysfunctional family, mm-hmm. They're going to have, that employee is going to have to take care of their children.
Yep.
And if there is, if the family is dysfunctional, they're going to have more absenteeism. It may degenerate into a court appearance,
yep.
and all kinds of things. This is just a very tangible, everyday thing. And not only that, that same child, when they go to school, are they going to be able to focus on their schoolwork and be a to learn to their full potential?
Those are all good questions, and most likely not. They're going to be very distracted. It's going to take up a lot of, you know, for that employee, it's going to take up a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of resources to be able to properly meet the needs of the family. And a lot of times, you know, we were just talking about parenting and it being a job and learning about it. Well, if we're not always learning about how to parent our children, sometimes the only things we have to go off of are what we saw as children. So if we grew up in a dysfunctional home, we're going to pass that on to our children because that's really all we know. And so, you know, this generational cycle is going to keep repeating itself. And the kids in school, they're going to have a lot more difficulty with focusing, with focusing on their work, making friends, that social and emotional aspect, being able to recognize, you know, what other people are feeling and responding to that. There's so many layers of this. And like I said, it's just going to affect everyone. And when you look at the effects down the line, whether you're talking about things like substance use, depression, heart disease, suicide rates, domestic violence, sexual assault, all of these things that we deal with in the adult world have their ties directly back to childhood trauma. And if we can stop it in the first place, we're going to have much, much less of that on the back end. And then you start looking at the dollars, you know, the dollars that are spent.
It just explodes.
It does. And that's why I said it affects all of us on every single level. And if you can't have healthy children, you really cannot have healthy communities. It's not possible.
So this is April Prevention Awareness Month. What are we going to do in April?
We're gonna be out there in the community. We're gonna be creating awareness. The pinwheels have always been the national symbol of that happy, healthy childhood that we want for all of the children.
Pinwheels just bring a smile to everybody when they see them.
They do. I mean, I really dare you to not play with one.
You're just attracted to them.
Yes.
It's a symbol of happiness.
Very much. And that is literally why Prevent Child Abuse America adopted them as their national symbol. And they've kind of stuck around. But over the past few years, we've been trying to use them a little bit less outside just for environmental reasons, and they kind of tend to blow away and get caught up in waterways and stuff like that. So we're trying to use those indoors a little bit more, and at least in our area we are. I mean, we live on two lakes, so we want to be really mindful of that. So we in Cadillac have gone to blue lights. So downtown, they're going to put up the blue lights for us.
In the street lights.
Yeah. So that'll just kind of create a little bit of visual awareness to kind of help remind everyone, hey, it's National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and I have a role here to play. And we are continuing with our message of mentor, advocate, donate, to give people those three simple things can all do every single day. You can mentor a child or a parent. A lot of people think of mentoring just for children, but it's for parents too.
They probably need it as much or more.
Absolutely, absolutely. And advocate.
In the scriptures, it talks about the mothers of Israel. Those were the older. Past those child. They're looking out and helping the younger parents.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And it's building that sense of a positive community, like you said. And the only way we're going to get that is by reaching out to others. And the advocate part of that is really advocating for family-friendly policies, no matter where it's at, whether it's on a local level.
What is a family-friendly policy?
A family-friendly policy is going to be for instance, a workplace recognizing that when an individual employee has children, that they may need some flexible time here and there. So maybe instead of offering an additional full day off, they allow them to take that day and take a couple hours here and there, a couple hours to go to one of their kids' school events, or a couple hours to go pick them up from school if they're sick, or something like that, instead of having them take a full day off for those things and have it be a vacation day. You know, give them a few flex days. That could be a family-friendly policy that might be done through work. And other family-friendly policies are going to be legislatively. You know, when we're voting for our elected officials, what family-friendly policies do they stand behind? I know for our area and really across the whole state of Michigan, there are some family organizations that got completely dissolved that we don't have around anymore to offer things like playgroups and parent education sessions and stuff like that that we were doing on a regular basis. So those things are gone. And so that's that advocating piece, you know, speaking up and saying, hey, wait a minute, how is this policy going to affect families? How is this policy going to benefit children? How is it going to strengthen families? And then the donate, of course, is donating your time, energy, resources, your expertise, not just funds. So we really look out to the community. This month we have one of the local businesses, Wildflower Bakery, who's making pinwheel cookies for
us. Those are great.
They're so amazing. They spin. And so she's asking for special orders just to call in because she sold out every single day last year, or she'll have them in her shop on Fridays. And every Friday's where Blue Day. So things like that to just make it visible throughout the month.
Karen, thank you so much for bringing our attention to April as Child Abuse Prevention Month. And thank you so much for what you do.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
God bless. We'll be right back after this break.
Hi, folks. Jalene Fenner here. Strong Tower Radio wants you to know, especially during these unprecedented times we are living in, that you can still call your prayer requests in to us at 231-468-2087. And if no one answers, please leave your request on our voicemail, or you can go to our website, strongtowerradio.org, and at the top of the page, click on the prayer request button and fill out the form. Over 40 prayer warriors will take your request to the throne of God. We want to remind you, God is still in control, and Jesus is coming back soon. Remember Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. May God continue to lead, guide, and richly bless you.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio Today Preview. We're looking at the month of April. A lot of exciting things are happening, and Karen is staying on. Karen, there's something else going on that is emphasized nationwide during the month of April.
Yes, there is. So we were just talking about April being Child Abuse Prevention Month. And along with that, it is also Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So those things, again, they tie together. Sexual assault rates are higher for individuals who have extensive childhood trauma. And that just holds over time, though those rates do. So locally in our area, and I know there are area groups really throughout the nation too that focus on this. But in the Cadillac area, we have the Human Trafficking Awareness Coalition, and they're a partnering organization to the Child Protection Council. So we always try to attend as many meetings as we can.
We and support bringing each other.
Yes, we do. And that's exactly what we were talking about.
Together, we solve the problem.
Exactly. Bringing these things together, making sure, because no one of these issues stand alone. They cross over. You know, human trafficking then goes to substance use, then goes to suicide rates. I mean, it just keeps going in intertwining all of it. So it's really important to have that crossover to help identify and get the word out about things. And the Human Trafficking Coalition has been working on bringing in a couple presenters to focus on that issue of human trafficking, especially when it comes to children, and making sure that we are keeping eyes on them. With the rise of our technology as it's growing, our children are at a greater risk for online exploitation, and many times without even knowing it. So the Human Trafficking Awareness Group is focusing on bringing in a couple speakers at the end of April. It'll be April 30th.
What's very interesting, we're talking about this on a local level because mm-hmm. everything's local.
Sure.
But it also has a national, and so we have somebody as local right here in the community, mm-hmm. a real person that's amongst us that
yep.
we know.
Yep.
And then we have a national person that our listeners, Strong Tower Radio listeners, we're in the midst of a series. We'll probably have it completed
yes.
by this event. But Dr. Tom L. Evans of Child Impact International, he's going to be our national speaker.
Nice.
And then Adeline, who is a local person. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about Adeline, who's been on that front. She's a survivor.
She is a survivor. And Adeline Arnold from, she does live in Cadillac, and she's going to be there and tell her story and how things kind of unfolded for her, and really and, unknowingly. So
she's a mother of four, mm-hmm. And she's giving back to our community. She's helping other people, but she is a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. That's
yes,
that
exactly.
connection.
Yep. That connection comes full circle. And, you know, for children who experience this, you know, a lot of times people will say, oh, they're, you know, the kids are under a lot of stress. Some stress is good, okay? We learn from stress. We solve problems through stress. But chronic stress at intervals of 20 minutes or higher becomes toxic, and that's where all of this starts to unfold and happen. Our brains don't properly function, we can't make decisions properly. So whether it is from you know, actual child abuse or chronic stress that a child is under, we need to pay attention to what it's doing to their brains and their development. And again, makes them more susceptible to things like that online exploitation and falling for the things that the people are, unfortunately, a lot of people are doing online these days.
And they're looking for satisfaction to fill that void or to kill that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking, unfortunately, in some of the wrong places. And we need to make our children resilient.
Exactly.
And this event is April 30th at the end of this month. So you've got far enough advanced so you could put it on your calendar.
Mark your calendar.
And there's no boundaries. This happens to be in the Cadillac area, but you're welcome to be a part of this. We want to spread this statewide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this particular event is on Thursday, April 30th. It starts at 5:30, and it's free, free, free.
Free, 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 yeah.
Free soup and dinner to get us started and just get us warmed up. And you eat together, you build relationships.
Yeah, eat together, pray together. Yeah,
exactly.
Build that community. Yeah.
And so we do that, and then starting somewhere around 6 o'clock, Adeline will start telling her story of from childhood abuse led to prostitution, human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some questions and answer periods, and then Dr. Tom Evans will be joining us by a Zoom meeting out of Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee, from their headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll all be taking place at one of the local churches, St. Anne's Catholic Church on 13th Street on the west side of Cadillac. Anything else you would like to share with our listeners about this event?
No, just, hope that people can make it. If they can't make it, to try to contact us and, stay tuned for future events as well.
Very good. So that is the Human Trafficking in America. It's a free event. It has a local person, a person who is a survivor of human trafficking, Adeline Arnold, and Dr. Tom Evans of Child Impact International. If you would like to get acquainted with him, go to strongtowerradio.org and you can go to the archive page and you can hear the 6-part series that we talk about all forms of child abuse. We talk about the internet and the resources. We talk about the foster system. We talk about internationally and such. So this is an event. It's unfortunate we have to talk about this.
It is unfortunately that we have to talk about it. But it is definitely necessary, because if we don't, then we're not raising awareness, and we're not helping our children to make better decisions, make more informed decisions. And I think one of the best things that any parent can do for their child is, from birth, encourage them to talk openly and honestly, non-judgmentally, making sure that, parents are being supportive and being that guide that the kids need, because if they have a strong base to come back to, then that's what's going to help them throughout their entire life.
And if we don't do this as parents, mm-hmm. as citizens, as grandparents, as neighbors, who's going to do it?
Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of predators waiting online to take that role.
That's right.
So we have to keep that in mind, This is just something. My children are all grown. My children are 41, 39, 37, and 25. And raising my older three children, the words human trafficking never, ever came up in conversation. My 25-year-old, a little bit more, and even more so now. I mean, I have grandchildren, and I really worry just because of what that online world is capable of.
So we need to step up. We need to take an evening. If you're within driving distance and this is important in your heart, April 30th, Thursday, April 30th at 5:30, dinner, and then the meeting will start soon thereafter mm-hmm. with a local person who is a survivor and a national expert.
Mm-hmm. And Tom, maybe we can just finish by reminding all the listeners that things like talking about child trafficking or child sexual abuse or child abuse or harming a child in any way, those are pretty heavy topics. They are pretty heavy to hear, to even think about, and I completely understand that. So the best thing to do sometimes is to do small steps, pick something that can make a difference and work towards that. Because looking at the big picture overall can sometimes be so overwhelming that it causes people to do nothing. So instead of being in that mode, make sure you're at least doing something. So if this seems like such a heavy topic, or you can't hear it, you don't want to focus on this, still pick something positive that you can do in your community to make a difference.
Oh, our listeners will be doing that. Thank you so much, Karen.
Yeah, thank you.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button or call 231-468-2087. We thank you and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
I'm back with Strong Tower Radio Today, Preview April. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, and to just wind up and look ahead at the month that is coming here on Strong Tower Radio. Every month is really exciting. We've got some great, great programs, so I'm going to share those with you at this time. We have the April Garden Guy. It's seeding time, tips and tricks to start your garden. This is just the annual reminder that I always missed seeding, growing from seeds indoors, and then I'd have to go to in May or very early June, have to buy these plants. And if you looked at the flats of vegetables and stuff today, you can't even buy a full flat anymore of 36 plants. They sell them in groups of 4 to 6, and they charge you about $5-$6 a piece. But if you grow it yourself, your gardening costs can be minimal. So this is your clue to start your indoor seeding of your plants. After that, really exciting special program. Many of us have studied the history of religion. There were periods of time that there was great, great persecution in the 1600s after the French Revolution. The established church did a lot of persecution of Protestants, and many of them left the country in the 1600s. And some went to Europe, and some of them came to the eastern United States, settled along the eastern seaboard. And we went to South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, and visited a Huguenot church. The Huguenots were up to 20% of the population of France, and they were pushed out and persecuted. And in the 1600s, that's hard to believe, the 1600s, they came and established the first Huguenot church, a Protestant church, largely on Calvinism, closer to the Presbyterian church in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. And I went and met in that church. This is about the fourth building. It broke down, burnt down. They've rebuilt it about four times, but had a wonderful half hour, a whole hour with the pastor who's been there 30 years. With deep, deep history. We sit in the congregation, in the congregational box, in the sanctuary, and we talked about the different parts of the history, just all around us. It was a powerful, you'll enjoy that particular program. We also did a recording with a Christian artist, with part of our People with a Purpose program. I did that with Kendra Maynard. She does a lot of, you've heard her voice on the spots and promos. She shares that with Holly Bailey Wiltzer. And so this is the first program that she's co-produced with us. And we're continuing today, this week, we're doing bear safety, a fun time. We went to the Weber Wildlife and Education Center. You've got to visit it. Any of you have been into Cabela's, and they have a beautiful exhibit, and they have fish and mounted animals. Well, this is on steroids. It's a building that is about 100 by 100 square, about 25 feet high. You have two mountains, one in of the two four corners, two of the corners. One is with upper North American mountain sheep and goats, and the other one, at the other corner, they have African animals and antelope and deer. They have alligators. They have stuffed alligators. They have even have a stuffed elephant. They have four lions. And talk about conservation and the history behind that particular museum. It's a great place to take the whole family in education. We did the program there on bear safety, and we focused on, this is the time of year when you may have an encounter with a bear. The bears are out of their tupper. We call them hibernation back in the day, but it's actually a tupper. And they have come out, and we role played what you do when you encounter a bear. We, with the Michigan DNR specialist of human-animal interaction, and we role played walking up the North Country Trail and coming up on a bear. You just got to turn in to see that. Then we roll out Winged Wednesday and human trafficking. We're continuing that series. We're rebroadcasting. We're off the air because of ice storm in the Cadillac area that took down the power for 3 days, and even the internet was off for another day. We're glad to be back on. We were glad to hear from so many of your listeners that were encouraging and saying, we miss the station. We hope you get back soon. So we're working on systems to make this more reliable and backup systems and such. So you'll hear more about that. We continue human trafficking with child brides. That will be the last of that particular series. The Conways start a series on marriage, addictions, and grief recovery. And Pastor Jay's series will continue on the Book of Galatians. What a great month. We've just come off a resurrection month, and we're finding more programs that we're going to add to next year's Resurrection Week. Well, it's been such a pleasure to be with you, and we've got a chance to talk to some of our listeners recently, and thank you for your support and prayers for Strong Tower Radio to keep it strong and keep it on the air. And expanding, you'll be hearing more about the opportunities that we're working on behind the scenes to let more Michiganders hear the Word of God through the mission of Strong Tower Radio. For Strong Tower Radio Preview, I'm your host, Tom Azure. Until next week, God bless. Bye now.